or the lack of health data. We know now that the COVID-19 crisis also has affected other health issues, and that it has been a huge challenge for health systems, and that could affect people with disabilities disproportionately compared to others. So these are hugely important issues in a normal situation, and of course they are extremely challenging now with COVID-19.
Thank you, Bård. Undersecretary, what is the UN doing to build a disability inclusive and accessible environment post-COVID?
Well, first of all, I have to say that, you know, even before the pandemic, last year, in June of 2019, the Secretary General, who considers the issue of disabilities and disability inclusion as a real, very important issue and as a priority on his agenda, launched a strategy that we call UNDIS, United Nations Disability Inclusion Strategy. And that was launched, as I said, in mid-2019 with the purpose of making the UN system more inclusive and at the same time more coordinated on the issue of respecting the rights of persons with disabilities, but also on having our system delivered for persons with disabilities. And this is because, of course, as you know very well, the motto of the Agenda 2030 is leave no one behind. And we feel somehow that persons with disabilities are particularly left behind and sometimes forgotten, and they are not at the center of the conversation. So that was already, as I said, in motion before the pandemic. When the pandemic came, as I said, the Secretary General just issued this policy brief, and we established a task force and that I have been chairing. And in this task force, the World Bank, by the way, has been a very important component, co-chairing the group on financing for the purposes of recovery and for the purpose of a more inclusive and fair post-COVID world.
Very, very important and powerful words. So important that no persons with a disability is left behind, not at this time, not any ever time at all. Thank you very much, Undersecretary. Now, Bård, what is NORAD doing to ensure that disability inclusion is at the core of your work?
Well, surely we could all do more, but I have to also say that I'm quite proud to say that that the inclusion of persons with disabilities has become a key priority actually for Norwegian Development Assistance and the current government. Like you probably know, Norway spend 1% of our gross domestic income on development cooperation, making us a quite big donor globally, even though we're a small nation. And NORAD, we're managing most of the long-term development cooperation, and we employ what I would call a twin-track approach. First, of course, we do targeted initiatives, right? They are targeted to include persons with disabilities, and that's the main objective of the program. And we more than or nearly doubled the support to these programs just from 2018 to 2019. It's now up now at almost $50 million. And we also do even more with where it's one of several significant objectives. So that's what we do, what we call targeted. But I think also like the Undersecretary said, The SDG agenda and the Leave No One Behind work has made us understand that it cannot just be about targeting. So we have also mainstreamed disability inclusion all across our programs by having horizontal networks with representatives from different ministries and with funding civil society recipients and so on, and making them address disability inclusion as a cross-cutting theme in their programming. And now we are working with a strategy for disability inclusion to make our whole effort more strategic. And it's we are going to finish that before Norway hosts the Global Disability Summit in 2022. So we hope to do even more in the future and to keep on this twin track approach that we have applied for some time now.
Thank you, Bård. And what I like about that is that it's a never-ending search for improvement. You're not just satisfied with what you're doing, it's continuing. I also like the point you mentioned of disability shouldn't be on the fringes. It should be something that is at the forefront of everybody's thinking, disability inclusion. Thank you both for your participation in this panel. So, moving on, earlier I posed the question, how can we build a disability inclusive, accessible and sustainable future? We heard from three of our global disability champions. Well, now it's time to hear from three more. And this is what they had to say.
There is no doubt that COVID-19 affected our lives this past year. Most of us spent this past year in quarantine, not being able to get out. But the fact is, if you're a disabled person in a developing country, you are spending your life in your house not being able to get out because the environment around you either is not accessible for you or does not accept you for your disability. To me personally, sports played a huge part in living a normal life and giving me access to a lot of different opportunities, including a college education. I urge global institutions like the World Bank to support adaptive sports in developing countries.
I think this global pandemic is a great lesson for all of us. For the first time, this world has experienced self-isolation. And being a wheelchair user myself for the past 12 years, I exactly know how it feels to be self-isolated because of lack of accessibility and lack of acceptability. I pray for an inclusive healing of the world, but also I would like to request all the lawmakers to ensure the implement of the laws which say that every place should be wheelchair accessible. And also, I wish to live in a world where people are more accepting and more considerate towards those who are unique, those who are differently abled. I always say one thing, that disability has nothing to do with the human body. It is the name of that mindset which thinks that if a person is differently abled or if a person is unique, that person has no ability. And let's be more kind and be more accepting towards one another. Now is the time to be more considerate and more empathetic.
For me, a disability inclusive recovery means creating more accessible workplaces, both physical and virtual. Back in March, I started to work from home and I was on a video call with my team, and I realized that if you had never met me before and we were on a video call together, would you know I live with a disability? What's been isolating for many has been liberating for me because I realized that we already have the technology to be able to work from home. The problem is that not everybody has access to that yet. And so I think employers around the globe can focus on that as we come out of this. Building flexibility into the way that your workforce can remain productive, for example, by working remotely, is the future and a great lesson we should take from this. Companies and the development community need to continue to hire persons with disabilities because then we're going to have the perspective that we need to come out of this stronger and more inclusive in all of our work.
Fantastic insights there, and thank you to our disability champions for sharing. Now, many of you will probably know our next guest. She is a hero of mine, so I'm really looking forward to this. Judy Heumann is a lifelong advocate for people with disabilities. She's led the charge for disability inclusion across the US government, civil society, and right here at the World Bank, where she served as the institution's first global disability advisor. On top of those achievements, She is the author of a new book, Being Human, and appears in a Netflix documentary released this year called Crip Camp. It's a true story of a group of teens with disabilities who helped build a movement and pioneered the disability rights movements as we know it today. Wow. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up when I see, when I hear and watch that film again. And if you guys haven't seen Crip Camp, make sure you go out there and watch it. It's the birth of a disability movement. Now, Judy, welcome. So good to have you. Judy, let me start this off. The documentary talks about a very torrid time and a powerful time where the disability civil rights movement was really in its early stages, and you guys were actually probably the birth of it. What do you think about where we are now, how far we've come, and how much further do you think we need to go?
So let me first say that I really want to thank Jimmy LeBrec and Nicole Noonan and Sarah Boulder, who were the ones that made this film happen. When we discuss internationally, at least 1 billion disabled people, 80% in developing countries. When you think of the progress that we've made in our respective countries and globally, it's pretty impressive. Our primary goal is the ability to live our lives as equal people within our communities, to be able to go to school, to be respected, to be able to get jobs, to be able to get adequate health care, not to worry about COVID or other related issues because we have a disability. And we are very much working, and I think successfully slowly moving forward at supporting the emergence of voices of disabled people. So we're really talking now about hundreds of thousands of disabled people around the world playing all different types of roles, and not just people with a certain type of disability, but groups like the International Disability Alliance, the work that they've been able to do in supporting their members that are all across the range of disabilities. This is what I think we ultimately are needing: a stronger voice of disabled people, learning from each other, respecting the fact that we all have things to share, and really having one goal, and that is we take our rightful places in our countries. That means in elected positions in government, in civil service jobs, in the private sector, and in the nonprofit sector.
Well, you've just heard a fantastic discussion, points of views, and sharing that will help you to understand the needs, the concerns, and the demands of persons with disabilities. And while these views may be considered worldviews, persons around the world sharing their thoughts and their ideas and their concerns, remember, persons with disabilities in Barbados are experiencing the same challenges, have the same concerns, have the same demands as these other individuals across the globe. So please take a moment and really think of how you can help, support, advocate, and improve for people with disabilities in Barbados. Well, thank you again for listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. I appreciate your feedback, and remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or on 1-246-430-7300, as well as by email at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast Visions and you can listen back. So until next week, be productive, be well, and love yourself as you love your neighbor.